breaking this up. This is not gonna break it up.
Oh my god.
I keep walking when you put it in. So put it in there first.
You know, before I begin, I just want to say, you know, it's a privilege to serve God.
I'm going
to
talk about the different
and each and every one of us should be thankful that God has called us. Even before creation of time, He knew each and every one of us would be not only in the place where He needs us today, but equip us with the tools and the special gifts that each and every one of us have engraved in us. A lot of us haven't even begun to use the gifts that God has given us, myself included.
All right.
And you got to think, Lord, is today the day? My message this afternoon is called Life Lessons. And when I think of the Bible and I think of everything that God has put in the Word of God for us, there's a lot of examples He's given us. But I can't help but think about the greatest life lesson of all, which is His undying love for us enough to send His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. You know, Jesus Himself became 100% human with all the trimmings, compassion, servant, loving, forgiving, committed, prayerfulness, gentleness, patience, self-control, and humbleness. These 10 characteristics of Christ is in every single one of us by way of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? A lot of times we think Jesus became man and Jesus experienced everything that we do. All the hardship we go through, all the suffering, the temptation. Yes, He did. But we forget about those 10 traits that He came. He came to show us that we can live with these 10 characteristics because we have that engraved in us. The day you said yes, the day Christ came into your heart, He gave us the example already. He showed us the way. He gave us the tools. You know, I think of Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, where it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You know, when you read that verse, we are to die. When we think of death, we think of, ouch, it's going to hurt. How many of you are hurting today because you've died in Christ already, and Christ is already showing through you? Does it hurt?
No.
No, it doesn't. What hurts is all the times we said no, and we struggled, and we fought sin and lost. Sometimes I think our view of being freed by death in Christ Jesus is different than this verse talks about. This verse talks about no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. Yet, the truth be told, sometimes in our lives, this sin blinds us. Because we learn to live with the sin. And what I'm talking about is we learn to live with our version of Christian lifestyle. We know what the Word of God says. Some of us don't even get into the Word of God because we know what the Word of God says. And we don't like that word. What's it called? Conviction?
Yeah.
How many here has been convicted by the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
I know I'm not the only one that gets convicted every day when I become human. Right? But when you read the Word of God is truth. And it tells you not only what conviction is, but the consequence. But Jesus came and died, so we don't have to mess around with sin. The Bible gives us so many life lessons in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. You're never going to know until you read about them. I encourage you, if you're not picking up the Word of God daily, pick it up.
Amen.
Do what I used to do as a new Christian. I didn't know. Somebody told me just read the book of John. I did, and I fell in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was a baby Christian. I tell everybody, you want to know Jesus Christ, you want to fall in love with Jesus Christ, you want to know what he's all about, we'll start with the book of John.
Amen.
I look at it like the Super Bowl, the camera that's over everything, that shows every angle. But you know what? You got to pick it up.
Yes.
And I had a hard time with it because sin was blinding my life. From 1977 when I got saved to 10 years ago, I lived with that blindness. I lived with that sin. I was living my view of what a Christianity was, and I was wrong. You know, I'm still wrong today in a lot of ways. But I thank God that the Holy Spirit helps me to turn that wrong into right. And it helps me to realize that the tools that he gives me, he forgives me when I come to him and ask him. You know, I say this all the time. One of my favorite stories is, and I start talking about it, but the truth be told, every story of the Bible is so precious to me. I encourage you to find yourself a hero in the Bible. There's many. I love the fact that God has put people in here like me that struggled, that failed, that repented. He forgave them.
Amen.
And he used them.
Yes.
In a mighty way.
Yes.
Again, it starts by you picking up the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Today's favorite I want to talk about is David. Everybody knows David as his young shepherd boy, right?
Yeah.
Who fought the giant, Goliath. So this afternoon I want to read to you from 1 Samuel, starting chapter 17, verse 31 through 40. And it deals with a life lesson that helps David understand his strength. See, we got strength inside us. God already knows our strengths. The Holy Spirit's job as a counselor, as a helper, is to bring them out. Each one of us is different. I couldn't sing a note. I'm not even allowed to sing in the shower at home. But you know what? I thank God that he has shown me that I have other gifts that I can do. I can garden. You know, my wife loves to be out in the garden. I can't garden. I'll go out there once in a while and suffer for an hour. She's helping her, sure, I'm there with her by her side. And I think she knows it. But you know what? That's not my strong point. But you know what? I thank God that God has given me a heart for others. Something I never had before. And my wife can attest to that. And I thank God that as we grow, God brings these things out of us. But you got to let them.
Amen.
You got to let that S-I-N go and let the S-O-N in.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
So, you know, we're talking about David. And then David was against Goliath, this champion of the Philistines, the Rambo.
Yeah.
Big guy. And the story starts out where they're in this valley, in Goliath. One army is on one side of the Philistines, and the Israelites on the other side. And Goliath comes down, and he says, one-on-one, anybody who defeats me will submit to you, and you submit to us if I defeat him. Nobody wanted to go. Here's this little shepherd boy. This little shepherd boy is sent by his father to go look after his brothers and take him some food, who are up on the battle lines. And he tells him, I want you to bring back some news. So here's his little shepherd boy. He goes up there with some food, his little slingshot, his little robe, and he goes up there. So let's start at verse 31 in 1 Samuel. It says, now when the word which David spoke were heard, they reported it to Saul. And he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Have you ever said something to somebody and all of a sudden you're standing in front of the teacher or in the principal's office, or there's a crowd waiting outside the school after school and you're wondering, what's all that about? Who's fighting? You go over there and it's you and somebody else. People see what you do. People hear what you say. And people are going to go. And David was no different. David said, I can defeat this guy. I'll go up against him if nobody else wants to. Somebody heard and they ran to Saul. So Saul's saying, wow, let's see who this guy is. So Saul looks at this guy very carefully, this little shepherd boy, and right away he says, that guy's a giant. This is a little boy. There's no way it's going to happen. So, you know, David kind of looks at Saul, and he's looking around to see where's your fighter at? You don't have anybody. Am I your only hope? I'm trusting God. God's the one who's telling me, you've learned the lessons already. You're equipped. This is what I'm calling you to do. In verse 34 it says, but David said, Saul, your servant, used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came to take and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when it arose again against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and is this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
David is giving Saul his resume here.
Yes.
He's telling him, not only did I deliver the lamb from the bear and the lion, but the living God was with me. Do you know God is with you today?
Amen.
Do you know God is with you when you sin?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it, but he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Do you know that God is with you when you go through that trial? When you say, Lord, where are you? He's there. When you come out of it and you're praising God, what's the first thing you do? You give thanks to God, right? If you have Christ in your heart, you're going to give thanks to God. But you know what? We've learned in our lives, in our walks, and in the Word that teaches us that God is there through the thick and thin. As a matter of fact, He carries us when we're in the thick of the battle. Because it's not our battle, it's His.
That's right.
And we belong to Him.
Amen.
So here is a king. Okay, David's giving him his resume. David himself wasn't man enough to go up and fight against Goliath. He was afraid, like everybody else. But he knew that here's one man, as little as he is, who's willing to go up against this Philistine. So something must have happened in Saul, because he turns and he starts thinking, maybe this is the ticket. So verse 37 says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you.
All right.
Something's moving in Saul's heart.
Yeah.
He's saying, wow, this kid has a tremendous resume that he just laid in front of me, but I don't see fear in him. There's something in him that's different.
Amen.
The difference was God. Have you ever noticed When you look around and you see people, maybe at your job or at school or even on the street, even in the supermarket, even when you're frustrated at a signal light and no one's going in front of you, somebody in the next car just kind of bouncing their head around, looking around, you know, or at the market, they get hit with a basket and, you know, don't worry about it, I'm okay, you know, and kind of follow that person around because you want to see if they're going to get provoked, to see if they're going to get angry. Because we have a tendency to say, what's going on here? You know, David knew. David was set. David knew his God. David knew the tools and the gifts that his God gave him. In verse 38 it says, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and also clothed him with a cloth of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I can't be Pastor Kermit.
Right.
I certainly can't be special. I already told you about my singing career. It failed along with my comedy career. But I will tell you this. I thank God that I don't have to wear that armor. God has equipped somebody else to do that.
Right.
The part of the body that he's given me is a part of the body that you see today.
Amen.
And I thank God that he's done that. And I don't have to worry about the singing. I don't have to worry about being like my brother, Pastor Perry, especially on the golf course. But, you know, God will use each and every one of us. Recently, I was asked by a family member, how come you don't write to me anymore? And it was kind of humorous when I heard that, because I thought, be careful what you ask for. But you know what? I thank God that God used this young man to encourage me. See, I was going through this really bad time with my wife getting cancer, me having cancer, and I didn't have a heart to reach out and write those cards and letters like I used to. And God used a couple of instrumental people this last month to touch my heart.
Amen.
And it showed me you can go through the trials. You can go through the fire. Don't stop what I have. Don't stop using the tools I've given you. Because somebody out there is looking forward for that. So I wrote a nice letter.
Amen.
But you know what? As I was writing the letter, I started seeing a lot of me in this young man. And it encouraged me to encourage him. Because God's not done with him yet. Because I see him hanging on. And it really encourages me. Because I love this man. And I respect this man. He'll give his shirt off his back. He's like David. Heart of gold. But I love the fact that God will use anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how high you think you are. God's going to use whatever he needs to use to get you where he needs you to be. And sometimes we lose focus. And I'm here to tell you today, firsthand, it's okay. It's okay if you lose focus. God's going to wheel you back in. Just be open to it. And remember, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, it's for a reason. And I'm sure you will agree, the Holy Spirit will not let you off the hook. Because it will remind you, and remind you, and remind you, and nag you, and nag you. Right?
That's right. Amen.
Some of us husbands say our wives nag us, right? I'm being honest, right? But you know what, the truth be told? A lot of times they're right. We just don't want to admit it. I think I don't know how I got off track there. But let me go back to verse 40. So Saul gives David his stuff. Right? And David says, I can't be like you. So he takes it off, and he feels comfortable. So verse 40 says, then he took his staff in his hand, and chose for himself five smooth stones. And I always thought about, why five smooth stones? Wouldn't you want jagged ones that can cut through the flesh? He wanted soft ones. You know why? Because the Lord was going to do all the inserting.
Amen. All right.
He didn't need the jagged rocks. We would have went for the ones that looked like a hatchet, right? Or a pick, right? You got smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's bag and pouch, which he had had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. You know, as we go through our lives experiences, life lessons, you know, we learn in different ways. There's man's way, and there's God's way. This morning in Power Hour, we talked about family, marriage, the examples that we set, how the husband and wife come together, and what the world's view is on marriage. You like somebody, you want to start a family, go have children. Don't worry about marriage, that'll come later, if you really love each other. Well, of course you're going to love each other because you're going to have a kid, right? God says, come together first as one. The way I created Eve, out of the rib of one. Together you come to me, God. As we get closer to God, the husband and wife, seeking God, they come closer together.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you become one in marriage. That's what marriage is. Do you know that that's the same way our marriage should be with God?
Amen.
We need to come together with God.
Yeah.
God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know who the Father is because we know who the Son is and what He did. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us testifies to each and every one of us the marriage, right? Unless I'm missing something. My Bible says that. We need to make sure we understand that the life lessons that we learn are for a reason. The tools that God equips us with is for a reason.
Yes.
As we see here, David and Saul had two different views of one man's opinion and the other man's faith in God. Does that mean my time's up?
No.
I only had a couple of seconds to recap Power Hour. I thought, okay, this must be a trend. Don't pull the hook yet. Okay, as we see here, you know, these were two opinions. And undoubtedly, both men had their love for God. I'm sure Saul worshipped God. He knew God was with the Israelites. David had a relationship. He knew firsthand what God has given him. It was precious to him. So we know that throughout history, in David's life, this was a start of his life lessons that he had going up against his Philistines. And you know that, you know how the story goes. He goes up against Goliath, and with the stone, he defeats this Philistine. And going down to chapter 17, verse 50, it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. How many stones did he put in the bag? And how many did it take to kill him?
One.
Does God miss?
No.
You need to tell your partner, right now where you're sitting, somebody, God doesn't make a mistake. I'm here because God chose me.
Hey.
He chose each and every one of us. Not only that, He's equipped each and every one of us with a lot of precious things. And Jesus Christ, when He came down, He showed us those 10 characteristics, right? Compassion, be a good servant, self-control.
Yes.
Why do we have so much trouble with the self-control?
She called me petty.
Yeah.
Nana.
Prayerfulness.
No, petty.
Love. Gentleness.
Yes.
You know, I can go on for days. And I thank God that each time I think I got this nailed, He reminds me, look at your wife and remember what you put her through. And I thank God that He's changed my life. Because I wasn't gentle. I wasn't compassionate. I wasn't loving. I didn't have self-control. I had self-control. Big difference.
Yeah.
I was in control. If I wasn't, I wasn't involved in it. It was all what was for me. And I thank God that He has shown me.
Yes.
And He has equipped me. Nothing that I could ever do on my own. So we know that David was an ancestor of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was often called the Son of David. Perhaps David's greatest accomplishments was to be called a man after God's own heart. Man, I would love for the day when I see Jesus, for Him to say, "Welcome, faithful servant. You were truly a servant after my own heart." What a great thing that would be to hear that. But I know that just being able to see Him.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be more than 1,000 words.
That's right.
He could ever tell me. And I'm going to rejoice knowing that I'm in paradise with Him. Like that thief on the cross.
Yes. Amen.
Because that's what I deserve to be. I'm like the thief on the cross. And it's only by His grace and mercy that I have that assurance. So David was a man at times that was devoted to God, yet others failed badly, committed some of the most serious sins recorded in the Old Testament. David was a great military man. Everybody loves a great military man, right? Strong, ready to conquer. But David couldn't conquer his own self. His lust, his betrayal, his dishonesty to try and cover it up, even to the point of murder.
Yeah.
And yet, he's a man after God's own heart. You know, that tells me one thing. God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
I love to read these stories because the bottom line is no matter how filthy I am, no matter how wretched I become,
all right,
no matter what I said yesterday, God forgives me right now, and He loves me and says, "I don't remember that anymore." And then He says, "So why should you?"
All right.
And I thank God that He tells us that. There's three things I want to leave you with today. The first one is David did a self-examination. Self-examination is a critical part of our spiritual growth. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at our spiritual mirror, what do we see? Do we see mostly the carnal and worldly attitude? I know I'm sinning. I know my life isn't where it needs to be right now. But God, at least I'm coming to church. At least I pray. So I know You're going to love me and You're going to forget about that little sin that I'm living right now because I'm here. You know that God wants us all. He wants our all.
Amen.
He's given His all.
Yes.
Would you expect anything different from our Lord?
Amen.
If we're really honest with ourselves, we're a work in progress. He knows that. I've said it all along, I'm a numbers guy. I love to look at charts. There's a lot of things I love to do. I admitted the other day, I love coloring. Mm-hmm. Because it helps my stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, you have a lot of stress? I say, yeah, everybody has stress. Look around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't live in the world today without having stress. But self-examination, examine your life. Where am I? Lord, show me the real me today. Not the candy-coated one, covered with chocolate and caramel. Second one is forgiveness. When we look at David's life, it was easy for us to say that we can relate to this guy. Because the deeper and deeper he got into trouble, the more trouble he got into. Right? But the truth be told is when David repented, he had a repentant heart. And God knew his heart.
Yes.
And God knew it.
Yes.
Confess. I used to hear it all the time. How many times do I need to confess for the same sin over and over and over and over again? God's never going to forgive me because I keep committing the same sin. Do you know that God forgives you no matter how many times you've committed the same sin until you have conquered it? And the only way you're going to conquer it is with God. And the third one is faith. David's faith in God's ability was so absolute and sure that he literally staked his life on it. Right? How many of you want to go up against a giant?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. And I was going to do something. I was going to give Camille a picture of me 5 years ago, 285 pounds. But I didn't because I didn't want you guys to laugh too loud. But what I wanted to show you was, what a shame that that man that God equipped is the same man that skinny here today. My wife tells me all the time, when you wear the shirts, get a smaller shirt because the bone here shows and people are focusing on your bones instead of your words. And I hope we're focusing on the words of my heart.
Amen. That's right.
But what I wanted to say was, God wants to use you the day you are. You didn't think I was going to use that on you. It's just been on my mind all morning. What I wanted to say is God wants to use you the way you are today.
Yes.
Okay. All 285 pounds of you, that's you. All right? Don't wait till you get like me. The same tools that he's given you yesterday is going to be there today or tomorrow because he never changes.
Yes.
We are the ones that need to change. So David was victorious because he trusted not in himself, but in God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. You know, in today's world, and it's a shame, we're judged by anything we've done in our entire lives that is wrong. We don't get pats on the back anymore for what you do good. What's in the news today is what you did that was wrong. Years and years and years and years ago. God doesn't work that way. God says we're good. God said in Genesis, it was good. He said it wasn't, he said at one time it wasn't good. And we heard it this morning. It wasn't good for man to be alone. And he created woman. And man still tried to find problems with that. Right? But God said, it was good. He said that for a reason. You know, I stand here before you praising God for these life lessons that he teaches us. But you know, cancer, it's not on the throne. God is in my life.
Amen.
And I see in my wife, cancer is not on the throne of her life either. God is. You know, last week, I had a brother here stop me. And I hadn't seen him for a while, and I told him, hey, brother, I know you text me and I'm sorry. He told me stop right there. He says, you know what? He said, God has used you and your wife in a mighty way. Even with cancer, you are a testimony. You never, ever need to say, I'm sorry. Because God has used you as a couple and other couples in this church as an example of encouragement. And it's so refreshing to hear that sometimes. Because you never know. But I thank God that He knows. So what I'm trying to say here is, when we look at the heroes in the Bible, don't just look at the bad. Look what God did for them. Look how God equipped them. Look at the tools that God set before them for them to do the will of God. Will I ever sing in the shower? Yeah. I sing in the shower when I'm in the house alone. You know, I really do. But I think I'm pretty good now. But you know what? I thank God that as the body comes together, the fingers can't do what the feet, the toes can do. My elbows can't do what my knees can do. My ears can't see what my eyes see. My mouth can't hear. Right? Each part is special. Each one in this room is special. I love this church because last week, as Elder Jones was up here sharing his message, I've never been in a church where a pastor shares the pulpit so much as Pastor Kermit does. That's a church. Let the body speak. If there's a message in your heart, we want to hear it. God didn't put it there for you to keep it to yourself. God put it there for a reason.
Amen.
Trust God. Trust God enough to stake your life on it. You know, David did. Let this be you today. Let the life lessons that you've learned throughout your walk with Jesus Christ be the life lessons that you're going to put into action. You know, God is before us. God is with us.
Yes.
And He's always going to be there, no matter what we go through. And He even carries us when He has to. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't God great?
He's great, man. Yes, sir.
God, we serve an awesome God. To be able to hear Ralph speak in the way that he does, that even while he's going through what he's going through, he's able still to build us up.
Amen.
He's able still to allow God to use him.
Yes.
What a blessing. What an inspiration. And I think all of us need to take that to heart, that there's something that God has for us to do and to say, to encourage others. It's not about us.
Amen.
What a great example. It's not about us, but it's by the great God that we served us, that He so cared for us. Who are we that the angels would ask? What's up with this man that you are so mindful of him? God loves us.
Yes.
He cares for us. So I want to close out this morning giving God glory and honor and praise and worship. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, you are our God. We want to be so mindful that you care so much about who it is that we are, that you sent your Son, died on our behalf, so that we can have a right to the tree of life, that we can live, Lord, in your kingdom forever.
Yes.
Father, be with all of us today. Be with us and touch our hearts and touch our families. Father, we pray that as the weeks and days go on, that you would continually, like Job, put a hedge around us and all that we have. Thank you, Lord, that you care.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for our children. Thank you, Lord, for our grandchildren and all of our loved ones. And so we lift you up, Lord. Not a day should go by, not a time that we should gather together that we don't give you the glory.
Yes.
We lift you up.
Yes, Lord.
The Word of God says that if you be lifted up,
yes, Lord,
that you will draw all men unto you.
Amen.
So we don't want to get out of here without lifting you up.
Hallelujah.
And giving you honor.
Yes.
And giving you glory. Father, we bless. I ask that you would bless the food, Lord. We ask that you would bless those that have took time out, Lord, to serve us. Those that have taken time out, Lord, to make the dishes. We ask that you would help us as we congregate with one another,
yes,
that we would begin to speak on those things that you've given us to build each other up.
Yes.
And we give you honor. And Father, we thank you that you've given us things that allow us to give back. Father, we pray that as we before we leave, that we will give an offering. That there's a box on the back, Lord, that is provided by this church. No other church that I know of, Lord, that they don't just pass the basket. We give you that privilege of being able to remember who God is and how he blessed you.
Amen.
So bless us, Lord, as we bless others. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And in Jesus' name, and all of us says,
amen.
Amen.
I just press play.
That's fine.
That's why you make a lot of money. So we can have these things. Duh.
What's wrong with him?
Oh my gosh. I'm still recording.
Love you, Mom.
Hold on.